Hello everyone. I hope you are doing great and enjoy these stories. Make sure you check out my Patreon if you want early access to my videos, and make sure you check out my podcast in the description below. I have a message before the story starts, and if you want to go straight to the stories, then I have timestamps in the description below for that. So for today, I'd like to share this. Remember, if you're struggling with your mental health, or feel alone in the situation, remember you're not alone in it. And there's lots of other people who have similar things to you and know exactly what it's like. Because I know sometimes it can feel very lonely and you might look at other people and wonder why they seem to be okay. But trust me, even if you can't see it with the people around you, there's 100% other people who know exactly how it feels. And the most important thing to do is go and get therapy and do the things that you need to do to get better. And honestly, it can completely change your life. And even if it doesn't seem like it now, I promise you things will get better. You just need to be consistent and focus on the things that will help you. And remember, don't be too harsh on yourself too, which is something I've said in my other videos quite recently. But I think it's really important to understand that it's a process that takes time and it's going to be up and down. And if you're having bad days with your mental health, it's not your fault. It's just how it is. There's going to be bad days, but you just have to ride them out. And I promise you, better days will come. So I hope that can help somebody, and I hope you enjoy these stories. I'll speak to you all soon. Take care. I was walking with my cousins about 14 years ago when we found what looked like an old burnt-out house. So naturally, being kids at the time and having no sense of self-preservation, we decided to explore it. It was mostly full of charred wooden crap and junk, but then one of my cousins found an entrance to a cellar outside. We busted the old rusty lock off the door and looked down inside. It was dark down there, and we didn't really have any reason to go parking around it. Plus, we started to get creeped out, so we kicked some dirt down into it and walked off. We get about 15 yards away from the house, and one cousin says he hears a noise. And everyone goes dead silent. And yep, there were some noises, like somebody was coming up from the rotting cellar stairs of the house. We peek back through the trees and see a kind of dark fuzzy shape crawl out of the cellar, which we left open. It really looks like a dog. It then stood upright and we hauled out of there. We run off as fast as we possibly can, convinced that that thing was going to chase us. I've honestly never ran so quick in my life and actually shredded my arms and legs on the journey back, when in reality we were fine. But the closest thing I can imagine it was is some kind of small bear that lived in the cellar. Maybe it had another entrance that we didn't know about, and I guess we just disturbed it to come and get us. That's if it was a bear. So when I was in grade 3, my parents were going out for a drive with me. I believe we're going to visit my grandparents and I would stay there for the weekend. We're in the middle of nowhere, out in farmlands of southern Ohio, and we're kind of hungry and thirsty, so we look for the gas station for snacks and drinks. Finally, we found a gas station. I was first to go out and I start running towards it. It's surrounded by trees and looks kind of menacing. The gas station was dark outside, and I looked into the front door. It was abandoned, but there was a back door, so we thought maybe there was a guy from the station in there. We went around the back, and there was an axe dug deep into the door. We left right then and there when our car was pulling away. I then noticed somebody walking out from some bushes, grabbing the axe and trying to pull it out from the door. I screamed to my dad. He saw it in the rearview mirror and sped out of there. Today we've tried hard to find any information about the gas station, but unfortunately, we haven't found much, especially because of how long ago it was when it happened. So, I was walking a section of the Appalachian Trail with a couple of buddies when we happened across a bundle of sticks. The sticks were arranged to look like a person. It was obviously placed by somebody, as it was in the dead center of the trail, leaning against a rock. I thought it was cool, so grabbed it and put it in my backpack. Anyway, we finished the hike and set up for the night in our camping spot. We were all pretty wiped out from the long day, so after dinner, we retired to our prospective tents and cocked in for the night. The next morning, I was the first one awake, so I got up to the coffee, and what did I find? An identical bundle of sticks to the ones that we'd found, sitting atop the pile of charred wood from the previous night's fire. The first thing I did was check my pack, and sure enough, the one I'd picked up was still there. Each of my friends swore they didn't put it there. It was obviously the same. It was weird because we're all adamant about not putting it in there, but I can never be sure it wasn't one of them messing with us. The thing that messes with me is the bundle I found in the morning was almost an exact replica of the one we found on the trail earlier, and I find it hard to believe that one of the guys could have made such a close replica without having serious skill. And it's not like either of us would have placed them one on top of the other on the trail beforehand for us to stumble upon, because we're way out in the middle of nowhere. So, I was hiking a section of the North Unpaika Trail, northern part of southern Oregon, a few years back with my sister-in-law. It's about a 72-mile trail broken into sections that can be easy to hike to in one day. At this time, I lived about midway up the trail, fairly remote in a small community. It was mid-fall, and we decided to set out. The trail was running along the south side of the N.Yumpaika River, and was pretty up and down in the beginning. We made it to a fairly flat section that was running just above the river. There was this beautiful view of the river through the trees, so we stopped to get some pictures and take a water break. I immediately felt extremely uncomfortable, like we're being watched. I slowly turned my head back to look behind us, and across the trail, up a small incline, through the trees I could see a small meadow. Across the meadow, maybe 15 yards around away from us, was a tent. An old canvas-style tent. As I'm looking, I notice bones strung from the trees to the meadow, like creepy death wind chimes or something. My stomach clenched and I dropped. I leaned in and my sister-in-law whispered, "Do not turn around to look behind us, just continue walking and I'll tell you when we run." We were close enough to the river that nobody could get right next to us or could have heard this. She did exactly as I told her, setting off at the brisk walking pace we'd been at before. We got maybe 10 yards and I could hear footsteps through the forest floor coming behind us and slightly above us. That part of the forest is very dense. This is a thick moss covered area under the trees, so footsteps make a very specific sound. I leaned forward and told her to pick up the speed. She did. So did I, and so did whoever was behind us. I leaned forward again and told her to run as fast as she could and not stop until I told her to. For two middle-aged women, both slightly overweight, we ran like the damn wind. I just kept telling her, "Go, go, go." I could see ahead of us that the trail made an incline, basically reared around a cliff. I knew at this point that whoever it was going to have to come down onto the trail or stop. We kept running. We probably ran at least a mile after that, even though we could no longer hear anyone behind us or above us. That section of the trail was about 9 miles, and we were not halfway through when this happened. We eventually slowed down, but just hurried as fast as we could the rest of the way. We had arranged for her younger brother to pick us up. Now, we made it to the next trailhead fairly early, so we made our way out to the 138, and started walking east towards home, knowing he'd find us. He did, and was shocked at the story. We got home and immediately called our local sheriff, who lived just above us at the ranger station. He came to the house and heard our story. He explained that it might be a day or two before they could get in on the trail, as they had a missing hunter at the time they were searching for too. So a few days go by, and he shows up at the house and told me that we were not crazy or imagining things, as someone really did chase us. I said, "What did he found?" And he looked down to the ground and looked up and said, I'm not going to tell you what we found or how we found it, because you'd never go hiking again. What we found was not normal and would not happen up here again. He then basically instructed me to never hike unarmed again. I never found out who they were or why they are out there for us, and I also never hiked that section of the trail again, and apparently it completely burnt last year. I also never hiked unarmed ever again. This was huge for me, as I'm not really a gun person. I had many incidents while I was actually living up in a national forest with wild animals and other stranger things, but nothing that scared me like this. So we lived in the woods during quarantine. We'd spend the days there, storm or shine, drinking beers and picking up trash, swimming and just goofing around. We also started doing something that sounds odd to say aloud, but at the time kept us sane. We'd get in the woods, strip our socks and shoes off, and hike, since we wanted to get out to this little lagoon we'd find and lay out there. It was insanely meditative. I also absolutely loved barefoot wandering. It feels very nice and primal in some kind of way. Anyway, there we roamed like that. The more in tune we got with the woods around us, the better we'd feel. Without the chatter between us and the careless stomping of boots, we'd become a part of the woods in a weird way. Now, we'd surprise people pretty often without meaning to, passing within a couple of feet before they noticed us. It was like our guts started calling the shots. We could feel storms brewing. All the creatures seemed to stop minding us, and we walked like that. So whenever the woods went silent, we knew something was coming. It was one of those days with the thick skies and kind of electric air. It had been stormy out for a few days and the woods were pretty empty. We'd only seen maybe two other souls all day. Darkness had started to creep in, quicker than usual. We were heading out of the woods a bit, barefoot and knocking back the dregs of the warm beer, just chatting but not really saying much. I remembered we were coming up to this hill, and all of a sudden, it was like I'd swollen a snowball. I looked up at her, and she was frozen mid-laugh. Something was wrong. The woods were off. We were surrounded by murky shadows and dead silence, heavy silence, intense silence. Then we heard it. It was a metallic sort of sound, a kind of clanging that we can't really make out exactly what is. A metal striking stone, maybe? Over and over. A bit further down the trail, squarely in between us and way out, we stood there like statues, tucked behind some trees, just listening, a shovel and some digging. We crept closer. I remembered how the sound made my palms itch. My friend's face was flushed red. I told myself it was being stupid. In fact, I had in my backpack a little spade that we used to plant flowers and dig up rocks and such. Who was I to judge this person? But then again, that was just a little garden spade. And as we got closer, it became clear that this person had a full-on shovel and was digging in the middle of the trail. I kept trying to explain it to myself. This person was just digging. It was dusk and a lightning storm was hastening our way. But we all cope with quarantine differently. And sure, it was odd to carry a big shovel out there, but maybe they're burying a pet or something. And sure, it makes no sense that they'd bury their pet in the middle of the trail, but maybe they're digging up a bike. And yeah, they don't have a bike, but like that on and on in my mind, churning out possibilities but not really getting anywhere, and my gut was really in a knot now. We were almost on him now. I think it was a him. Though they're wearing a hat, scarf and whatnot, all covered in black, which is crazy for the summer. Maybe he loved that spot and that's just how he went there. My stomach hurt more with every step now. We were both shining in sweat, and the sound of metal striking the earth and stone seemed to be deafening. It's really a primal sort of fear, isn't it? Rooted deep in our guts and completely deaf to every excuse I was handing it. We were just wandering along 1 minute cracking jokes, drinking beer, and suddenly, Every neuron was firing, and every muscle goes tight enough to snap. My mind is racing. I was taking stock of everything. Two girls, barefoot in swimsuits and overalls, two empty cans of beer, and I had a big bag of trash, and my backpack full of stuff. My friend was holding our bucket of rocks, though we'd pick skinny flat stones. Not really for defense, but water skipping. I had a can of pepper spray buried somewhere in my bag, but to my dismay, I couldn't access it easily. It feels so insane looking back. I've never been in a fight, and I've never really raised my voice much. I'd spent most of my days talking to toddlers about emotional regulation, and yet here I am, suddenly getting ready for God knows what, tallying up what I could use as a weapon against a stranger. But all of the excuses I made for this person had suddenly faded away. Maybe my gut was wrong. Maybe he's doing one of a million things. Maybe he'd feel awkward and embarrassed and see us and bolt away. But what if it's right? What is the cost if I'm correct? If we walk past and he swings a shovel, then what? What would the excuse cost us? Something shifted and I don't know what. It felt like a high voltage situation. A single spark in a gas-choked room. My friend went white. Said the first word we had exchanged to each other. Don't look at him and run. We ran, crashed into the woods off the trail, close to the water. We could jump in if he chased us. We sprint in, literally leaping over boulders, ducking under trees, thorns and stones, and sticking into bare soles. I didn't feel them. Didn't even notice the blood on my feet until we broke out of the tree line. Later on, we tried to piece it together, tried to understand what had happened. We were completely confused and perplexed, and definitely felt a strange sense of invincibility while sneaking around the woods. It wasn't until we're home, bandaging our feet, that we felt that we'd got out of it. Now, God knows what would have happened if we didn't make it out of that situation the way that we did. God knows what would have happened if he had stopped shoveling and started walking towards us or chased us. This wasn't really deep woods camping, because my friend and I were staying at a designated camp area in a state park, but it's still a scary story. So in the middle of the night, I want to say around 1 a.m, I'm woken up to the sound of gunshots. Two of the other friends in my tent were also awake. It sounded like the gunshots were getting closer and closer over the course of half an hour. It went from "that sounds far away" to "that sounds like a bullet about to hit the camp." Like I said, this is a state park where hunting is illegal, which either meant some reckless hunter was ignoring the laws and hunting after midnight, or some deranged lunatic is just walking around taking shots randomly into the woods. So, friends and I stay low to the ground, afraid that a stray bullet will come into our tent. Eventually, we begin to see spotlights crossing over the roof of our tent as state troopers in a helicopter begin searching the area for the suspect. An hour after we heard the gunshots, we also heard some police sirens around the main road above us. So the campsite was located at the bottom of a valley. There were sounds of "drop the weapon." I said, "drop the weapon." A few more sounds of gunshots and some dudes frantically scrambling and following instructions. Then eventually silence. The next morning, we went to ask the campsite managers if they knew what happened last night. It turns out, there was a guy who lived in a house higher up the side of the mountain above the main road. He did some meth that night and decided it would be fun to fire his gun at any cars that passed by. The state troopers arrived and arrested him. There's also bullets in some of the trees around camp and in one of the RVs that was parked up. I'm just really relieved that no one was hurt or killed by the gunman, especially after seeing how close the bullets come to some of the campers' tents. It could have easily hit us. Now, I distant hike when I can, Sometimes that means getting up early or staying out late to get as many miles in as possible. Sometimes walking in the pitch dark with a low light headlamp gets really spooky. I grew up in the woods of this area. I slept under a canopy of stars more nights than I can count. I've literally trekked thousands of miles of trail, riverbank, lakeshore, ridge, bottoms, bogs and creeks. I've hunted the game. I'm establishing this because it's important for you to understand that I've seen and heard and smelt just about everything the region has to offer in terms of the wilderness. The scariest experience though happened around 4:30 in the morning. It was in late spring, and the first morning light wouldn't really be visible in the treetops for at least another 45 minutes or so. Now, I'm at the bottom that's wedged between two steep ridges. The trail I'm on was muddy, narrow, and completely helmed in thick underbrush, young maple, and old oak growth. I'm focused on the small light from my headlamp. Just one step after another and I zone out. Then I hear a loud crack and I freeze. This is a part I had trouble describing. 4:30 in springtime means I'm the only thing making noise. No birds at this hour, dead quiet. Mid-step I froze. When fight or flight kicks in, you have these immediate instinct thoughts. The thought that instantly flashed in my mind as I stood there balancing myself is, if I hear that again, I'm turning around and I'm going back in a hurry. Why? Because that sound was not a branch breaking, it wasn't deadfall, it wasn't a widow maker. I'm pretty sure I just heard something intentional. Hearing it twice, well, that meant get out of there. To describe it as best I can, it sounded like a decent sized wooden stick being violently whacked against a tree. More a fungo bat sized stick than a baseball bat. The distinction in my head being that this sound was a crack, not a thud or thump. It's kind of like an explosive sound, but almost like it wasn't. It was terribly loud. I had the sense that it was about 50 yards in front of me and clear. Now, as I stood there completely shocked, I realized the soon-to-be worst part of my situation. I knew where the sound came from, and I knew where the trail went. In about 30 yards, I was going to come up to a 180-degree turn, and start up the ridge going away from the creek. This meant, as soon as I got the courage to move towards this noise, I was going to have to turn back to it and get up that ridge. This made me very nervous. Now, I was really worried about maybe finding a murderer or Bigfoot or God knows what. Now minutes pass. I just breathe my foggy breath into my glasses and listen. Nothing. Dead quiet. I get about 20 or 30 minutes until first light. I crank up the headlight and start to slowly creep to my 180 turn. When you wear a headlamp in the woods at night, every tree branch can make a really large shadow in front of you, and it makes moving on a trail very difficult. So, I get to the turn and also quickly make the bend. I'm moving pretty fast at this point, trying to be quiet, taking tiny shallow breaths so I can listen to whatever's up ahead of me. And then I smelt it. It's a smell that I can't describe. I just imagine wet, rotten death. I've actually worked scenes where human remains have been found in the past as a firefighter. This was like days old decomposition, and it just smelled strange. I'm walking fast, but by the time I made it to the top of the ridge, I was huffing and the first light was showing. I didn't stop moving until full light was out and the birds were chirping. I've heard it all in our woods. I've smelt it all, I'm telling you, but I don't know what the hell that was. Deadfall. And especially, branches do make sounds, but nothing like this. My family used to go camping with a few groups of friends when I was a kid. I remembered one Christmas when I was 5. We were camping out in the bush. There were 9 of us in total at our campsite. We were allowed to wander through the bush. The parents would give us a walkie-talkie and tell us when to come back to camp. We never went far away. Anyway, out of nowhere, an unfamiliar voice came over. It's a man's voice. He said he was Santa and he was trying to find us to give us our presents and asked us to look for him. We all ran back to our campsite excited to say about Santa speaking to us. Then the walkie-talkie was taken off of us and we weren't allowed to go out anywhere. We were all pretty devastated at the time, but now, as an adult, I understand the pure creepiness of it. I still don't know who was talking to us to this day. Now, I'm not exactly what you guys on here would call a park ranger, but it's basically the equivalent in the country that I live. I have a couple of stories for you today. Now, the first is actually from my childhood, one from when I was younger than I am now. My father really liked to go out on adventures with myself and my brother, and he always planned really cool stuff for us to do. One of these trips involved us going out into the woods and going out camping together. Now, this was really interesting for us, and we'd never been out in the snow before like this, so of course it would bring new challenges, but it would also bring some new adventure. My other brother at the time didn't bother accompanying us, so it's just me and my dad, but I didn't mind it that way. Sometimes I find that my brother can be a bit self-indulged and only really listen or talk about himself and not really give you good advice back. It's quite annoying because I always seem to give him the bestest advice that I possibly could, but that didn't matter, at least not on this trip. Now, we basically planned to go out into the woods for a good couple of days, camping and hiking along the way, and this was brilliant for me, as I love to go outdoors. Now, we drove up to the area that we needed and we set out. We were following the main path and had a designated site that we were going to go camping in. My dad did this for safety reasons, as of course his son was with him, and he didn't want to be too far away from everyone. When we set out, the snow was no longer falling, but there was a lot of snow around, and snow on the trees, so that just meant you had to be a little bit careful when you were walking, because it wasn't always clear whether the ground was kind of like a dry snow or a wet snow. And if it's sort of soggy, you can easily get your shoes wet and you have to pretty much head back if that happens. So, being relatively careful, we set out. At first, we're walking through some relatively low bushes and quite big trees. They're kind of like the tall, skinny kind, if you know what I mean. They're basically really beautiful, and I'm really having a good time on the first part of my adventure with my dad. I absolutely love to go on trips like this with my father. He's really one of my best friends, so I was having a great time. The trees eventually become more dense, and some of the snow is falling off of the trees and hitting us on the head, and it's a little bit annoying because you have to keep brushing your hat just to try and keep dry. But it's fine, and again, adds to some of the adventure. Now, we hike for quite a while, and eventually make it out to the spot that we're going to camp in. The snow has actually picked up a little bit and my dad sets to work, and he made me help with the tent, not only to learn the importance of it, but also because it's important for staying warm. Now, one thing I was really looking forward to, and my dad especially, was the night sky. We were going to see some beautiful stars out here because we're far away from most populations and miles away from worrying about light pollution. It's something I hadn't really experienced before living in a populated city, so this was a treat. We eventually get up the tent and go inside for a while, and my dad then starts a fire. It doesn't take him too long because he has all the appropriate equipment with him, but he's very cautious to make sure the fire's going nice and strong. He has plenty of firewood around, so this is really good, and I know it's going to be more than enough to keep us warm. The fire eventually melts some of the snow around where we are and it makes it very warm, so I'm really grateful for this. We sit there talking about different stories and my dad said, "Hey, look up at the stars, you never know if you're going to see a shooting star." And unfortunately I didn't see any that night, but that's no worries whatsoever. I'm just really glad to be out here and have some bonding time with my father. So the first night goes as planned and everything's good, and we actually have a small heater in the tent, so we're really warm and toasty. We wake up the next day and everything's as normal. We set out where we're gonna hike a little bit further for the day and see some of the views that are around. And this place is really beautiful. The hills kind of look a bit mountainy, and again, it's something that's a relatively new experience for me, so I'm really excited to see it all. So, we set out further and further and get to a point where my dad says that we need to head back just in case we get lost, and I completely understood. Now, while there, my dad can hear what sounds like a wolf howling. It seems to be a lone one, but it really frightens my dad. Seeing my father scared actually scares me a lot too. He said, "Son, we better head back." He didn't have to explain to me why it was, and I was pretty glad to be heading back now. I didn't actually hear too much, to be honest, at the time of the wolves. It was more my dad picked up on it, and I guess I kind of know this, but not really. But it was pretty creepy. So, we continue our hike and eventually make it back to the camp, and my dad once again gets a fire going. We cook some food over the fire, and again, we're just having a really good time basically, and we decide that we're gonna head in for the night. Now, throughout the night, we can definitely hear some kind of animal howling. Now, I know this might sound weird, but I really don't know what animal this was. I realized too, my dad seemed relatively unsure of exactly what this was, and again, it kind of worried me. I was very worried about wolves coming to get me, even though that realistically is quite unlikely that it would ever happen. Especially not with the way that we're armed, but I don't know. It's just something kind of creepy that you don't really experience often in life unless you're in those kind of situations where you're in the middle of nowhere like that. So anyway, we ended up falling asleep after not too long and waking up again in the night to realize that the fire's been put out. "That's really odd," my dad says. "Did you leave any water around?" I say, "No, of course not." And my dad looks a little bit worried and confused. We definitely had the fire going and more than enough wood in it, but it seems to have gone out almost. It looks like somebody's done it on purpose, but we're pretty sure this is some kind of accident, and maybe I left water next to it that got knocked over. Not to worry. We head out again for another day of adventuring. Now, on this particular day, we did some more hiking and sightseeing, and we actually tried to do some ice fishing, which I can tell you was pretty unsuccessful. So, we start heading back to the tent on the way home. As we get back to the tent, it's pretty much the same thing again. We basically put everything away and get the fire going, cook some food, then settle in for the night. Now, I'm awoken at some point in the night, confused as to why I can see my dad outside. I can just about see the silhouette that's portraying a shadow onto the tent. I don't think much of it and fall asleep again, thinking maybe my dad's just went out to use the toilet, or maybe he's worried about the fire. The following morning, I woke up and I said to my dad, "Dad, what were you doing last night?" He says, "What do you mean?" "I wasn't doing anything." I say, "Yeah, what were you doing to the fire outside?" And now suddenly my dad looks really concerned. He looks at me and says, "No, son, I've been here the whole time. What happened?" And I explain what happened, and he seems somewhat worried. He says, "Son, it was probably just something in your imagination, so try not to worry about it too much, but worry me it did." I don't really see my dad too scared often, but there was definitely something off. I had certainly seen somebody the previous night. I don't know, maybe it's just where I wasn't used to being out there and I was a little bit uncomfortable and I was just imagining things. But this was pretty creepy to say the very least. So anyway, we set out once again and everything's as normal like usual. As we set out, we've basically come into one of our last days and we're just having a normal conversation as usual. While we're there, we stop and we can see somebody up on the ridge line just further away from where we are. It's quite hard to see, but they seem to have a really large brownie color coat on, which is really odd. We wave and say hello, but there's no reply. My dad seems to get a little bit concerned at this and tells me that we need to head back now. So, a little bit bored now, we're just sitting there with the fire going, making food, not really saying anything. And my dad seems more worried than before. He says he's going to investigate something and not to worry, and I say okay, and wait for my dad to return 4 or 5 minutes later, which he does. I say, "Dad, what happened?" And he says nothing, just get ready for sleep. My dad gets the fire going even stronger, and we settle in for the night. We fall asleep and wake up the next morning to realise that the fires went out once again, definitely by water, which is really bizarre. It can't have possibly been from the snow or the trees, because there wasn't much around there, especially not in the spot that we're in, but how did it go out? This is really bizarre. Now we get our things together and head out for the final day's adventure. We once again go to do some lake fishing and really want to try and get some fish this time because it's something I haven't really experienced many other times and I've never caught anything fishing, and my dad loves fishing so he keeps on and on going on about it, but I tell him how boring it can be but he will not listen. His father also did fishing too, so that's definitely why he liked it so much. So, we surprisingly actually catch one single tiny fish, and I joke to my dad about it, but he's eager for us to get it back to our campsite and put it on the fire. And that's exactly what we do. So we make it all the way back again, and we start the fire, and everything's as normal. We eat the fish, then we decide that we should just start heading home the next morning earlier than usual because we're both a bit bored now, which is completely fine. As we're sitting there, just roasting some food over the fire, we can see a strange figure once again, just off in the distance. It's a silhouette of a person wearing some kind of coat which kind of looks like a very dark colour against the background, but this is basically just because of how dark it is now. Now the stars look absolutely beautiful at this point, but they're not really casting enough light down on us for us to be able to see well. But it's definitely a person there. I joke to my dad saying it's probably a snowman, but my dad doesn't really seem to be in the mood for jokes. He then says hey, and shouts out hey again and waves, but there's no reply. That's when my dad says that he's going to investigate a little bit, and I trail slowly behind him. We can see whatever this figure is holding up some kind of stick to the sky. Now what's really weird in this moment is we both realise the clothes that this person's wearing. The clothes do not look like somebody that's from the 21st century. They look very primitive, and all of his clothes are from some kind of animal hides. And how he wasn't cold, I'll never know, because we were cold enough with our new high-tech gear on, but this is really weird. It looked like somebody coming from a fancy dress or costume shop, if you guys call it that. But why would he be out here like this? Again, we called out, but we don't get any reply whatsoever. And we probably get about 40 or so feet from him. And we can see that this is a much older man just staring at us, still holding up some kind of stick into the air. That's when my dad turns around and says, "Son, you know what to do." And I did. I didn't need any further instructions as we start trudging back through the snow again. My dad's holding my hand, and he won't take his eyes off of this person. He says, "Son, do not take your eyes off of him. If he moves 1 inch, tell me." And I start to panic a little bit and start putting everything away. I eventually do so, and that figure is still there, having only moved very slightly. We get everything together and I tell my dad, and he says it's time to go. My dad doesn't even bother putting out the fire, and we start the slow trek back with only our torches to guide us. Luckily, there's enough light on the ground from the snow illuminated for us to be able to see where we're going, and we start the trek back. While walking, I keep looking over periodically, and that guy is still there, barely moving, until eventually he turns away into the woods. This makes us pick up our pace a little bit because we can't really see what direction he's going in. And I kid you not, we can hear the sounds of wolves once again. My dad still has his lights on because he thinks it's probably going to scare the wolves a bit, and he has his weapon ready. Luckily, we make it back to the car and everything's uneventful at this point. We quickly get into the car, wait for a good 5 or 10 minutes, which has got to be the most terrifying part, while he's able to get the engine going and the car ready to drive. During these moments, my dad tells me, "Please tell me if you see anything, son," and I promise him, and we have the doors locked. My dad still has his weapon in hand at this point, and thank God the car comes to life. My dad slowly turns it round and gets the car onto the road, and we start making the way back home. I say, Dad, what did you see? And my dad tells me, whatever he saw was definitely not a person. He then reveals to me that when he went off earlier in the day and before, he had seen the exact same figure that looked terribly dated and out of place for the situation they are in. He said it almost looks like he's bumped into some kind of time traveler, or we've bumped into them. We are both very scared by this experience, and my dad made me promise that I wouldn't say anything to my mum because he knew that she would never let us out there again. Now, we never did go back to there ever again afterwards. Looking back on it now and speaking to him more recently, he's revealed to me how scared he was at the time, and that he didn't want to show me how scared he was at the time, but he was really feeling it. Now, I'm certain we bumped into some kind of weird spirit there that we weren't really supposed to see, and we were trespassing on their land and they were not happy about it. It still remains one of the weirdest experiences of my life. Now, I've always thought I had some kind of connection with the paranormal, whether I wanted it or not, and one of those actually come from being on site during my job. Now, as part of my job, I had to go every so often to check out some environmental thing. I won't bore you with the details, but I had to check markers at certain points. Mind you, this is well into my adult life, so I wasn't as scared being out in the forest or parts of it, relatively isolated from others. I always had the help of the other people working the same job as me, but it would take them a while to get there. But luckily we had our radios to stay in contact with each other, and this always made me feel a lot more safe than not. Now, I was on my way to one of these specific markers, and as I'm walking, I stopped dead in my tracks. Just in the misty October air above where I'm standing, I can see some people over the hill. Now, once again, this is just like what happened when I was younger with my dad, so I had some paranoia from it, and I decided it'd be best for me to stay outside and not necessarily investigate immediately. I quickly come off of the main road that I'm on, and face away from the sun, and quickly go into the woods a bit. I stand so that I'm parallel with one of the trees, and just sort of out of sight. I wait for a good 4 minutes and nothing happens, but something was telling me do not move, and wait and see what happens, and that was just what I did. After another good 5 or 10 minutes of this, I eventually see more figures coming up the road. They get closer and closer, and they seem to be armed, causing me to duck down a little bit. Because of the mist, I can't really see exactly who they are or what they're wearing, but they eventually come closer and closer, and I think maybe there's some people lost from a party, because they're carrying some kind of big swords and have weird shaped helmets on them and long beards. They get a little bit closer, and I can see that what they're wearing is armor and animal clothing. I immediately have flashbacks to what me and my father saw that time. I then realise these look like warriors from a prehistoric time. But the strangest part is, I can't see anything below their knees. It's almost like they're hovering through the ground, which is the strangest part. At first I'm convinced that maybe this is just from the mist and it's kind of obstructing them, but then I realise it's not the case. Literally, it's like they're walking through the ground, which makes me realise these aren't real people. There's probably about 7 or 8 of them in total, and they don't take notice of me because where I am, and my god, I'm too scared to make it known. I wait for a couple of seconds and look around, just to see if there's any others I have to worry about. Now they're in absolute silence at this point. I turn back and they've vanished, literally like they didn't exist in the first place. Now the craziest thing about this is there would have been no possible way they could have hidden in that time, so I know something was definitely up. Now after this experience, I immediately went back home and told my dad after my shift what had happened. I didn't tell any of the other workers initially because I didn't want them to think I was off my head, but my dad said, "Son, where was this?" And I explained the exact location, and he then revealed to me something that I couldn't believe. The path that I was standing on was once a medieval road that was discovered not too long ago and was buried about 2 or so feet beneath the path that had been laid more recently. So that would have made perfect sense as to why I couldn't see from their knees below, which is exactly what I saw. I think that maybe I have some kind of connection to the spiritual world, where I can see moments in time that others can't. Now, I haven't told any of my colleagues about what happened in this story per se because, you know, I can't really be bothered with too many questions. If this had have happened and my dad didn't tell me that about the road before, I wouldn't have really questioned it, but knowing this, I can only possibly believe that it was paranormal. While working as a ranger, I'd made some really good friends, and even when we were off duty, sometimes we'd all go out camping together. One of my favourite places that we'd go camping was deep in the woods somewhere, and it had some cabins there that you could all share and use. We decided to share a couple because it'd kind of be a better laugh than if we were in individual ones, and it would save us some money, so that's what we did. Now, none of us had actually been out to this spot before, so we were hoping it was going to be quite desolate, and the day that we arrived, it was. We were really happy to see no other cars in the car park, but we still had a bit further to go to make sure that nobody else was here. We had to hike for about a good 4 or so hours, so this meant we brought lots of water with us. The journey there was basically uneventful, and we just sharing different stories. One ranger shared a really weird story about how he saw some lights in the sky that he couldn't really describe. He said apparently one night while he was on duty, he thought he was looking at stars through his binoculars when suddenly one of them started to move, then a few more of them moved, and they suddenly vanished. We're all making jokes about his age and him losing it because he's someone who likes to go on about aliens and stuff all the time, but I didn't really believe it, thinking maybe it was some kind of satellites or fireflies or God knows what. He would tell us to knock it off, and he would get a little bit annoyed, so we tried not to joke about it too much with him. Some of the rangers had been doing it for years, and some of the others were relatively new, like me. I was new to the job, but not necessarily new to being outdoors. I'd been a Boy Scout previously, and I had a couple of scary experiences of my own. One that I shared that was really weird was when we all went out on a trip one day with the scouts camping. I had to get up and use the bathroom. You had to go a little bit of a way to get to the outhouse, and I didn't mind too much because at the time, nothing scary ever really happened to me, and I felt pretty invincible with my scout uniform on. Yeah, I don't know why, but hey, that was my mindset at the time. So I just got finished doing my business and I heard someone go, "Hey, hey." I stopped dead in my tracks because I knew nobody else had come with me. They kept on saying "hey," and I looked up and I could just about make out somebody at the tree line wearing all black. The voice was very deep and clearly this was an adult, and he said, "Hey, and my name, do you want to play hide and seek?" I said, "No, I should really be getting back now." He says, "Come on, your friends are all playing it too, you're missing out." Now, I knew for a fact this wasn't possible because all of my friends are back at the campsite, so I just turned and ran. I ran all the way back and smartly, or not so smartly, I immediately told the other guys what had happened and they all started panicking. I then had the sense to tell one of the elders there who was leading us, and he very quickly made us walk all of the way back to the car and called the police on the way. I never found out exactly what happened from that, but it definitely put some paranoia into me naturally. Then, another one of the scouts actually came up with a somewhat similar story to my own. He said he was actually playing tag this time, to which I joked, "You're probably the person out there," and everybody laughed. He said, apparently, they're all playing tag when he seems to get lost out in the middle of nowhere. He said for some reason he didn't panic at all, but he felt strangely drawn to keep on walking further and further into the forest. He said he eventually saw some other people just by a lake and went over to say hey, but something made him stop just before he could actually reach them. For whatever reason, and what he still doesn't know to this day, he decided to duck down and hide. And he said that while hiding, he realized that they were going to pass by him, so he basically buried himself amongst the foliage and tried to cover his skin as much as he could and just get out of sight. Apparently, while walking past, he overheard them saying, "I told you this isn't a good place to hide a body," to which the other responded, "I'm telling you, no one's out here and it's completely fine." Now, apparently, he waited here for a good hour or so before eventually emerging. Apparently, he sprinted back to the site and told them what happened, and nobody believed him. The craziest part is they stayed there and finished the trip, and they went home like normal, and he never reported it any further, thinking nobody would believe him. So yeah, I guess that kind of sets the tone for the kind of stories that we're telling each other. Now, I felt insanely confident being out there with so many different rangers, including myself. I felt invincible being out there on my own with that ranger uniform. Even though we didn't have it on this time, I still had that air of invincibility. So, we eventually make it to the campsite and the cabins, and luckily, nobody else is in sight. Apparently, there was potentially going to be one other person that was going to stay there with us, but they ended up bailing, so they weren't sure if they were going to come or not, and that was fine. So, we set him for the night and made ourselves cozy. We had a good time, and eventually got a campfire going and made some food. Now, while we were eating, I looked back at the cabin and I said, "Hey, I think the other guys turned up, because we can see a silhouette in one of the other cabins." I waved, but I don't get a response. I think maybe the person was facing the other way, or just didn't take notice of me and didn't think much of it. Now, what was strange the following day is literally none of us saw this person re-emerge from the cabin, and we didn't hear much of anything. We periodically say hey when we walk past the cabin, hoping for someone to emerge, but it was really bizarre. Eventually, curiosity got the better of one of the others, and they went to go and knock for him and found the door locked. That was when we realized that nobody was in there, and nothing had changed since we'd last walked past it. Now, I think maybe, just maybe, my mind was playing tricks on me, but I was pretty convinced I had seen someone in there, and I think this is really odd. So the next few days go completely uneventful, and we have a great time fishing and just hiking and taking in some of the beautiful scenery around us. It truly was beautiful, and it's something that I really recommend people do, getting out into the great outdoors more if possible. So we head in for another night. As we're all laying there talking, getting ready to fall asleep, I hear a strange banging sound coming from just under my bed. It's really weird, it sounds like somebody's hitting it with a fist, but it's not possible. There's nothing below us. I think maybe it's some kind of animal that's tried to break in, or maybe it's the other guy outside, so I quickly jump up. I go outside with one of my other friends and we search the perimeter but don't find anything. That's pretty odd. We all think maybe it was just some animal that we didn't expect to be here and set a whim for the night. And we wake up the next day like normal. So, coming towards the end of our trip, we have a usual day of hiking ahead of us, and we're just generally having a good time relaxing. One of us has a guitar with us and he's playing some beautiful music, and it sounds like the notes are reflecting off of the water near us, which was really beautiful, I have to say. So, we eventually get the fire going again and we're all telling ghost stories to each other. One of us is telling us about how apparently he saw a headless person when he was much younger on holiday somewhere in Europe. And again, we don't really believe him, but you can see he's getting really freaked out. He says apparently he was asleep at the holiday resort with his parents when they thought one of the hotel guests was outside, or maybe staff member. Apparently, his mum went to ask what was wrong, and a figure turned around that was literally headless and seemed to vanish. Yeah, I didn't really believe it much either, and we all joked about this and once again settled in for the night. Now I don't know why, something just felt different this time. Everything was normal around us, but I couldn't quite put my finger on it. Something just felt off. Now just as we're settling in, I slowly fall asleep, and I'm awoken by a loud banging sound. I think it's one of the other guys who's outside who hasn't been able to get in, so I quickly get up. The banging then intensifies, and there's slamming on the doors and windows. I look around and I account for everybody still inside. I don't know what the sounds are. I think this is really odd, but just as I go to get up again, I can hear the winds really picking up outside. Convinced now that the other person's actually showed up in the other cabin and wants to get in, I shout out, "Hey, alright, I'm coming, and go to open the door, but it's locked. Now I realise that something's really up. One of my friends says, "Hey guys, listen, you can hear the banging coming once again from under the bed that I was staying in." None of us know what to do in this moment, and my friend looks at me, absolutely terrified. None of us know what to do, and yet all of us are prepared for being in situations we aren't comfortable with. It's almost a surreal moment where you don't want to move, but you feel like staying still is not a good option. This went on for a good 5 more minutes with the banging sounds, and eventually the wind stops, but the banging sounds continue. It seems like it's impossibly dark outside, until eventually it stops. We all remain in complete silence now, waiting just to hear if anything else is going to happen. Nothing does, and the bravest amongst us, one of my friends, goes and tries the door again and it opens. And the craziest thing? Everything's completely as it should be. And he looks around and there's no signs of any life whatsoever. He comes back in and locks the door behind himself and closes all of the blinds and the sheets covering the windows. Something is definitely off now. One of us decides to stay on guard while the others go to sleep, and one of my friends switches with him after a couple of hours. I was very grateful for this because I was so exhausted from the adrenaline of what had happened that I needed to sleep. I must have only slept for about 20 minutes, but God, I was grateful for it. The next morning we woke up in silence and none of us really said anything to each other. We all start packing up our things immediately and cancel all the remaining plans for the day. I start to pack up my things, and as I move the mattress to get something I placed under the bed, I see a red thing that I didn't notice before. I move the mattress out of the way and eventually pull the bed up, and I can see a circle with a pentagram painted in what seems to be blood directly below my bed. I say, "My God, guys, and all of the other guys turn around and see what I'm seeing. I'm not joking, I was literally sleeping directly above some kind of God knows what animal or person's blood in the shape of a pentagram. We didn't need to see anything else and we immediately start the hike back. I felt absolutely violated not realizing that I was sleeping above this thing. And maybe that was the source of all of the strange things that had happened the following night. I didn't know. I was just furious at the person that we were renting from not telling us that about the cabins. We eventually get back, and I immediately make contact with him. And apparently he knew nothing about it, and he said he was going to send one of his guys over there to investigate and clear it up. We agreed that we would never go back to that site again. God knows what happened before or after we were there, but we were happier not knowing.